Pod Beans, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A at My Buzz Sea Level Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses regenerative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Kelvin to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Is it working, Jeremy? Can you feel it?
Well, it's working, Lou. I can feel something. I feel you in part, Lou.
You still having audio problems?
Yeah, you're coming through kind of jilted, stilted.
Ooh.
Not your
well,
normal
the Freedom Fiends is, well, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAP. No government license. This will allow everyone except governments. Learn more at bipcat.org. So are you saying that we need to bring the...
Yeah, Braden, if you are listening, maybe you should hop back on the Fiend phone, because we're apparently Lou's having issues too. Otherwise, it might just be me tonight, folks. How is everybody?
so you're gonna be talking to the hamster in your brain?
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll probably be much like my normal day anyway, because I spend the majority of my day talking to dogs who don't really talk back. So it's essentially like I'm talking to myself all day long anyway. So it'll probably just like, I'll just think of it like I'm going to work. It'll be fine.
Well, Ryan, how can you argue with that? I mean, my philosophy when I see dogs or cats is I want to say hello and pet them and stuff like that. And then when I see they're humans, I try to avoid contact and hope they go away.
Yes, exactly. I feel the same way. That's why I work with animals largely, because people on the whole bother me.
So what's been going on?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. Just got through the holidays, thankfully. I'm so glad that's over. Although I did realize earlier today that this is actually
Fiend phone.
Going
Fiend
to be
phone.
Oh, look at that. He was listening. Hey, Brayden. This actually is going to be the last live Fiend show of the year, isn't it? Because New Year's Eve is on Saturday, so this is... What a way to end the year. We're going to have all sorts of audio problems. Just what Michael always wanted.
A classic episode, yeah.
Come Sunday morning, the Fiends will still be around and 2016 will be gone.
Yeah, this is true.
Booyah.
Yeah, and
all right, so I'm gonna drop out for a couple minutes and listen to you guys and see how it goes.
All right, sounds good, Lou. We'll try this out. Well, okay. So as Lou is just saying, yes, well, hopefully we'll still be here on Sunday morning.
I assume
we'll still be here, but yes, 2016 will be done. And I'm never one to really, you know, I mean, I'm sure there was points in my life where I had, like, you know, a bad year, you know, some bad times, and I was like, oh, I'm glad this year is over. But I don't really think, like, I ever really focused on it, you know, any particular year. Like, it was, oh, this was just a horrible year for, like, things outside of my own sphere. But I know a lot of people are talking about this particular year as a horrible one for things out of your own, like, life, because, like, outside of your own life, because all the celebrities and everything that are dying. And as you pointed out just before the show, I thought I had heard something about it, but I thought it was like an Onion thing, that there was no way that that could be true, that now Debbie Reynolds has died today. She had a stroke the day after her daughter died. And this, I don't mean to laugh about that, but that's just horrible. Like, what are the chances? You know? Braden, are you still
hey,
there?
Hey, Jeremy. Yeah,
have you heard anything I've said?
I haven't heard a single word for the past at least 30 seconds.
Excellent.
So this is going to be interesting. Very
this
interesting.
This is going to be fun. Maybe you should actually listen... you should actually listen live
on the
as well.
Live stream.
Well, no, unfortunately you can't do that, because that's going to be a delay. So then it's going to be even more delayed. You'll be like a minute behind me. That won't work either.
Let's not do that.
If
I hear that, I hear Michael might be on his way in also. So
we'll
figure it out somehow.
Well, all right. Well, I'll keep going. While you're talking now, I was talking about. Can you hear me right now?
Right now, it is beautiful. Let's talk.
Okay, I was talking about how you pointed out how Debbie Reynolds died today, and it was horrible because her daughter
died
yesterday.
She did. Yeah.
So,
I know.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that since you're talking right now?
Yeah, while I'm on air, I don't know. I'm like a minor fan of Debbie Reynolds, and I've heard some just funny stories about her and her personality from people like Penn Jillette or things like that. So if anybody's curious about her or who she is, she's a famous actress. She was in, I don't know, a bunch of musicals. So,
Singing in the Rain, I think.
She's also the mother of, she's also the mother of Carrie Fisher, and so they both passed away this week within, 2 days of each other?
Not even.
I don't know. That's just unfortunate timing, and I never like to see anybody go. So, there you go.
Yes. Well, it wasn't even 2 days. It was, It was barely 24 hours, if that, because Carrie just died yesterday.
Wow.
And,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been over 24 hours, but yeah, they said she had a stroke.
Mighty close.
Apparently she had a stroke. I was just reading the article that you had sent before the show, and it said that her son, Carrie's brother, had said that she was just a mess and like broke down when they were talking about funeral arrangements for Carrie, and said that she missed her so much and just wanted to be with her, and like, you know, within hours of that, she
fiend phone stroke. Fiend phone up,
Debbie Gibson died.
No,
what?
Wrong Debbie.
Oh no.
And I think
my
she preferred
favorite.
I think she
died.
I think she prefers Deborah. Or was that only a phase?
How will I compare people to people then without Debbie Gibson? Because I always say things like, you know, Sammy from Fang makes Gigi Allen look like Debbie Gibson.
Well, maybe you'll have to pick another 80s pop star like Belinda Carlisle. I think she was another one.
She had an edge, though, man. She was in, wasn't Belinda Carlisle in... God, what was that band?
One of those bands,
Germs. Wasn't she in the Germs before she was in the pop band?
I don't know what the Germs were, but she was in a band and then she went solo. But I forget the band she was in now. I can't remember the band.
The Germs were a high demand group that makes the Freedom Fiends look like a libertarian voluntarist association. Because you know what? The Germs symbol was a circle. It was weird. It was like just one of their first record had a big blue circle on it. So a circle was their symbol. And I'll tell you, if you're going to start a band or any product that you want to spread virally, even before the internet, this was true, but more so now, one of the best ways to do that is make the symbol so easy anybody can reproduce it. Like the flipper fish, you know, like it looks like a child drew it. So people will spray paint your stuff all over. I think this is kind of old marketing. It's not really so much true anymore because the internet, anybody can copy anything perfectly. But back in the day, like when, you know, when we were kids and we'd write the names of our favorite bands all over our notebook in high school and then grade school, middle school, and then, you know, write the name of the band we wanted to start and we'd draw the logos. And it always made more sense to me, like the bands with the really simple logos caught on. And
so something like Nine Inch Nails.
N-I-N with the backwards.
Yeah, right. I was always drawing that in middle school. Yep.
Yeah. What were you doing, Jeremy? Debbie Gibson?
Debbie Gibson. No. I was actually I drew when any the band I think I drew, AC/DC was the one I drew a lot. Or Metallica. Nope.
Metallica was a little harder to draw.
I was really trying to nail that down.
Yeah, but and you know the kids that could actually draw the Metallica logo well went on to become tattoo artists. A lot of them.
Which is why I'm not a tattoo artist.
So like a tattoo like requires artistry, or at least equipment. The high demand group that was called the Germs, and I highly recommend the biopic about them called What We Do Is Secret. The Germs, What We Do Is Secret. Amazing. And I know their drummer, Don Bowles.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Hey, coming back. So I'm bearing lead here.
Sorry, guys.
Okay,
Still having some issues.
Yeah, you are. You have issues. I mean, I think your issues might be you need to start getting about DSL if you're going to be a fiend because, you know, other people are having issues too. Like, Lou's having issues, but not like you have issues. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not. You've tried different computers. Anyway, I'm burying the lead. So the way that you joined the fan club of the high demand group called the Germs was, since their logo was a circle, it was even easier than getting a tattoo. You gave yourself a permanent ball burn on your arm in a circle. You know, you take a pot pipe with a metal round bowl,
yes,
smoke a bunch of pot and get it really hot, and then like even like, you know, run your lighter over it so it's red, like the steel is red, and then you just press it into your upper arm and you get a burn. And there are still people, still hundreds if not thousands of people walking around this earth with a bowl burn because they're Germs fans.
Wow.
And the singer in that band made Gigi Allen look like Debbie Gibson. You should read up on the Germs and watch this movie. The guy was amazing. He was he cut himself on stage. The thing was, their songs were great. They're really good and really catchy. And so, you know, like, you can do all the crazy stuff, but if your artistry doesn't back it, it's not worth the crap you're sparing on your chest after you cut yourself. But they were really good. And I mean, they couldn't play, but they got really good at not being able to play. And they had like, they were fearless. Like when they couldn't play, they would go to like open mics and grab the equipment of other bands and start playing. And like, they had a lot of attitude, but they weren't very good, but the attitude was great. And eventually they learned to play simply really well. You know, and like they would smash other bands' equipment because they didn't have any equipment, things like that. They were just like, you know, a filthy comet burning out brightly in the sky. You got to check him out. And the singer was a bisexual, insane dude named Darby Crash. And one of the things the Germs are famous for, and I believe there's like video of this somewhere, is they were partying at their house. They all lived in the same house in LA. And some dude died of a drug overdose and they kept partying with him. It was kind of like a Weekend at Bernie's thing. With one of their friends, and there's film of it. So yeah, man, check out. They're also
partying with the dead guy.
Yeah, partying with the dead guy. You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of like Gigi Allen. That's probably what inspired that kind of action at Gigi Allen's funeral. Because anybody who was a Gigi Allen fan was probably a Germs fan before, you know, 10 years earlier. So check them out, people. Watch. They're in the decline. They're in that movie, The Decline of Western Civilization. Which our tagline is named after, you know, Freedom Fiends, laughing while Western civilization collapses.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back, hopefully, with no problems. I turned up everyone's buffer, so should be better.
Hopefully.
All right. I'm not even supposed to be here tonight.
Stop stealing my spirit animal, Michael.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiendphone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, and now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
It's radio. You're teaching us to. We're going to go back to talking about Braden's favorite actress, Debbie Gibson.
Reynolds.
That's right.
You know, it's weird. I mean, a lot of times you hear these touching stories about people are married for 50 years and one dies and the other dies of natural causes 3 days later or something, or the next day.
Yeah.
Or hours later.
That's exactly later. What I was thinking about.
Dying of a broken heart.
Carrie and her daughter, yeah.
Yeah, but not with parents. Maybe they were lovers.
Well, I don't know. Oh man!
I somehow doubt that, but
okay. I'm never one to say too soon. But oh man,
I thought you were gonna say I'm never listening to this show again. I'm gonna do it with earplugs in.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, here's the thing. If you look at the celebrities that have been taken out this year, celebrities that have been taken. Taken out in 2016 is like Negan from The Walking Dead. Just when you think that the carnage is done and it can't get any worse, boom, there's more get taken down.
Hey, is Lou dropping in and out a lot for you guys,
yes,
too?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Damn.
He did get his point across, though.
All right, night.
Night.
All right.
Leaving? All right. All right.
Good night. Yeah.
Thank you, Lou.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the... On the bad.
On the what? He couldn't even. Okay. Bye, Lou.
All right. Bye, Lou. Yeah. Nice anyway, talking to you.
So I'm not supposed to be here. So DJ took the past, took 8 days off or something total with weekends to take care of me after my surgery, because it's the kind of surgery where, like, you know, if you lift a carton of milk, you could rip your sutures enough to go back. So. Mm-hmm. I had to be cared for, and then it was Christmas, and then she took off another day. So a week ago today was my surgery, my hernia surgery, my umbilical hernia surgery. People didn't miss last night's show. Go look at the image from last night's show. It's my high school picture from when I'm 12. No, really?
Oh.
Look at the Fiend site right now. You didn't see this picture?
No, I listened to the show. I didn't actually get
around to the website. I made a collage. I used... a picture of my scar over my belly. Someone said it looks like an eye. So I cut it out in the shape of an eye and then flipped it and then used it for the eyes on a picture of me from high school. So it's pretty beautiful. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see it, Braden?
Whoa.
Braden?
That's trippy.
Hello, Braden?
Braden's gone.
Wow.
It's just you and I.
It's you and me. So I was literally... I was really busy all of a sudden, like today, like a lot of things happened and I had to do a lot of things and all of it was good, but it required extreme attention. So DJ was sitting next to me since I woke up at 5, or no, she got home at 6. I woke up at 6:30 because I went to bed at like 10 this morning. And, like the whole time she was awake, you know, I had to do stuff and I couldn't really talk. And then I finally finished and I'm like, whew, all right, everything's off my plate. I can hang out with you. And she's like, I'm going to bed.
Oh,
I have
man.
To go to bed. It's a school night, a work night. And I said, well, you know, you can sleep in here if you want. We have separate bedrooms because I have a weird schedule. So, you know, we sleep together a lot, but I said, well, you can sleep in here, you know, cause she likes to, we like it when I'm awake, when she sleeps in my bed in the same room. So we can, you know, just mumble to each other when she rolls over and she's asleep or awake, or just being in the same room, we like it.
Yeah,
being so
in closer proximity, sure.
So, you know, she lies down to do that, like 20 minutes, she's reading her chromed robot book, her Kindle, and then falls asleep, and then I hear you guys having trouble and I have to come on, and all of a sudden, like, I'm in the room she's trying to sleep in talking loudly.
Oh, man.
So she had to get up and
sorry, go to sleep.
So yeah, man, it's you and I. I'm well rested and ready for further abuse. I have a good picture for tonight's.
Oh, well, that's good because I didn't have anything ready.
Yeah, good. I'll send it to you and we can discuss it.
I was depending on Lou, because normally when I do shows with Lou, you know, normally when Lou does his Wednesday show, he actually has a routine, you know, he has a whole layout of what he wants to talk about. He comes up with a title. He usually makes a meme or at least, you know, throws a picture in there. Yeah, he's really well organized. So it's great working with Lou. And then I get here tonight and he's like, from the very beginning, he's had problems. It figures.
You know, well, to be clear, I mean, there's storms all across the country. So, and the Fiends are all across the country, but like me and Braden are in the Mountain West where it's probably the worst. Although Lou's in Northern Michigan, which is, I call Southern Canada.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say basically Canada.
and you're in, you know, New York State, which is, I lived there for 18 years. It's no trip in the park. You actually get more snow. It's colder and windier in Wyoming, but you get more snow everywhere in New York State, and it stays longer. Like, you know, here in Wyoming, you know, there are points in the winter where it's like 50 degrees out and the snow's melting. We get a bunch of snow with reprieves. You don't.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with AgoristHosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar Hosting. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted Now.
There we are.
Yeah.
It's still just us.
And me just, and I'm busy writing to Braden.
Well, everybody with the bad internets went away.
Yeah. Yep.
That is the one downside of doing the show the way we do it. I mean, there's plenty of upsides, but if you have bad internet, you have bad internet. You know, can't really get around that sometimes, unfortunately.
I don't know if Skype would work with some of the internet problems.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Bad internet is bad internet.
Skype actually has better error correction than FiendPhone, because FiendPhone doesn't have any error correction because we did it for free, and, you know, I raised about $1,000 for it, and Derek Slopey did about $10,000 worth of work and made it, and it's brilliant, and it does something nothing else that's free does, which is just great audio with a decent mic and a decent headphones. Oh, by the way, somebody found a clone of the Fiends mic, the USB 2005 Audio Technica. They cost ours cost $70. Someone found a clone of it that cost $30. Who was it? He posted audio of it.
I
don't know. I communicated with so many wonderful people today. I can't remember all their names. But
I have that mic.
Somebody found a clone of it and posted audio to me, and it's like 95% as good as this mic, and cheaper, which is good enough, really. You know, if you take care of everything else, and have the mic near you, that's a big part of it, and have a pop filter on it, you know, windscreen on it. Pop filter.
Pop filter would actually do a better job, would it not?
I don't know about that. Those like pantyhose on a ring in front of the mic, you mean?
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm thinking in theory. I've never actually used one. I thought that was their purpose, but I mean, I just use a windscreen and it seems to work fine.
They do the same as a windscreen. I mean, there's no wind in our studios. Windscreen is the condom-like foam thing that goes over a mic.
I have a condom on my mic.
Yeah, the pop filter is the thing that kind of looks like a pair of pantyhose spread over a 6-inch frame, round frame, that's on a, you know, extended. It's kind of like a lot more work. It's more mechanics. It's, you know, it's a thing. It's more like having sex with a condom where, you know, like something's in the way between you and what you're doing with the windscreen. And with a pop filter, the thing that's actually more like a condom, it's not, you don't notice it and you can kind of forget of it. I mean, it may be, you know, I'd have to see someone do lab tests to really be able to say, pop filter's better. And it might be, because it's what's used generally in recording studios, in my experience.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. So, you know, where like looks isn't a problem, and, you know, being able to like move around and do a show isn't a problem. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, I always use the other. I use the pop filter. I've actually seen people do it like both, which is weird. I'm like, what's the point here? Double bagging.
Oh, a WIM screen and a pop filter?
Yeah, I think it's people that just don't know or had both and couldn't decide and don't know.
I can't decide. Oh, the heck with it. We'll just do everything at once.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe then, they're looking for...
Or you know, there's a David Bowie...
Or maybe they record in some CD areas and they kind of like, you know, double bag it, essentially.
CD areas?
CD, like dirty,
oh,
scummy.
Record in some bad parts of town.
So they're double bagging.
The best music is always recorded in the bad part of town, man. The most of the Bomb records, okay, Hyde Street Studios, my friend who was hanging out with my band while we were recording our first record, went to like get a soda at the store, you know, get some beers and some soda and some chips for us, and got mugged across the street from Hyde Street Studio where we recorded. There's a park a half block away that's nicknamed Sucker Punch Park because it's where if you go to try to buy crack or heroin, which is openly sold in Sucker Punch Park, you will likely get sucker punched and they'll take your money and run. It's 345 Hyde Street. If someone wants to look this up and do some Google mapping while you're talking, I think it's 345. It's two blocks up the street from 101 Hyde, the worst post office in the world that we talked about last night, where, you know, people shoot up using parking meters as tourniquets, and there's often human poo in the corner. You know, if we run out of show notes tonight, we should probably read some of the Yelp reviews of that post office. I did it once with a friend of mine
who
knows the post office, Mike DeLuna, who was a fiend for a week and then quit because he said, I don't want to be the bass player in Michael Dean's band because I talked too much and didn't let him talk enough.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, but I have that open, actually. So 345 Hyde, I think, is Hyde Street Studios. It's in the Tenderloin. And it's like, I mean, it's a world-renowned studio. So it's called Wally Hyder's Recording before that. And it's where, like, Jimi Hendrix recorded and the Grateful Dead and a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's, and then the other studio we recorded in San Francisco, Coast, well, there were three. There was Coast Recorders, which was also called Toast later. It's where I first met Sammy from Fang sober. You know, he says we hung out.
The first time you remember meeting him.
Yeah, because okay. I reconnected with him on Facebook a while back, and we were talking about his band on the show a lot, and you know his stint for murder and how he made Gigi Allen look like Debbie Gibson.
Poor Debbie.
Yeah. So, but he, you know, I said like, yeah, man. I mean, the first time I met him, you know, someone's like, do you actually stand by this person as a friend? He did time for murder. I'm like, yes, I've talked to him a bunch since, you know, this week on Facebook. I think he won't do it again. He promised not to do it again.
He promised not to murder anymore, my girlfriend, Michael. We
and
can be
he
cool,
feels,
right?
He genuinely feels bad about it. I mean, I guess I'm saying he paid his debt to society. I hate that term, but, you know, I don't think that's necessarily going to jail. I think it's everything that goes along with dealing with a crime. And he's changed his ways. He's like 11 or 13 years sober or something, and he's a productive member of society in every libertarian way that would include. But I was posting on Facebook like, yeah, man. And I met him once in person at Coast Recorders when Bomb was recording their reunion album in 1999, and he was recording on the same label, Wingnut Records, his I Just Got Out of Prison record. And Sammy saw that and commented on Facebook, like, dude, I met you. We hung out many times years before that. We're friends, you know, in person. I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it.
If you say
but
so.
Coast Recorders is on Market Street between, like, oh, I don't know, 8th and 9th or something, 7th and 8th, like, you know, just a block or two from Skid Row, and Skid Row never really stops. There's no, like, you know, it kind of trails over.
Yeah, it's not like a border.
Put it this way. When we were recording that record, and I was like a couple years sober, you know, like 3 years sober, and the whole band, like, you know, they're like, let's, you know, like, Michael, can we even drink a beer in the studio? You know, will it harm you? You know, the two guitar players were like that. They were sneaking out to go smoke pot. And, you know, like, I'm like, yeah, you can have a beer. Just don't get hammered, man. Thank you. Thank you for being thoughtful. Yeah. But you know, at one point we're in there like 3 or 4 days. The guy recording us was the Jason, the guitar player from my old favorite band in DC, 9353, who Google them. On or look them up on YouTube. Their music's up there. There's no video of them live, but 9353, amazing, weird, creepy band that were huge in DC, like, and played punk rock shows, but were nothing. They were nothing punky at all. But like they were so good and weird that they could play at hardcore shows. The guitarist Jason went on to be, you know, he recorded REM and a bunch of other bands, and he was recording us in that session. Great guy, Jason Carmer. Mm-hmm. Kramer. And at one point during that 3 days, like, Tony said, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get some coffee. Went to the store, came back with coffee, high on heroin. And I'm like, dude, you're high. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, yeah, you are. And the other two guys are like, he's absolutely high. Like, F you, Tony, man. We only got a little time here. Why are you going to mess it up? And he's like, I'm done recording. We're just doing overdubs. And they're like, you know, we basically made him go stand in the corner. We're like, don't, you know, you don't get to sit up front while we're mixing. You go over there, you know.
Go sit over there and play with your toys.
I'm mentioning that because describing the neighborhood. Like, he went out for coffee and came back high on heroin, holding a cup of coffee. And he wasn't gone 5 minutes, man. So I know he didn't go home.
Well, I mean, especially if he was really going out for coffee and managed to score heroin. Like, if he was looking for heroin, it's one thing. But if he went to get coffee and still went to heroin, that's
he probably actually had one of his dealers called him.
Yeah,
you know, went in the other room. This is pre-cell phone. He probably went in the other room, used the phone of the studio, called a dealer, paged him back, and said, "Yeah, you know." Like, hey, Paco, 1/7th admission, you know, like they had these people.
A drive-by dealing.
No, it's delivery. Like, you know, they'll come by. They will. Oh. Like, they'll just, they'll just slow down. And he just got it out the window, I'm sure, of the car.
That's what I'm saying. It's essentially a drive-by at that point. If you're not, I've had delivery services, but they usually come to your door.
Like, yeah. Well, these people would come to your door. They're interesting. They were usually Mexican, like from Mexico. And we called them Flying Monkeys. That was the name for them, the guys that delivered that were Mexican.
Flying Monkeys.
Yeah.
That's racist.
That's racist, but hey, they don't care.
I guess no. They would have to be blacks to be that racist.
That's racist. Like, saying no, you're wrong. They'd have to be black. I mean, I was thinking I was thinking monkey because they're brown. You know, like dark skinned monkeys are kind of dark. Is kind of racist, but for you to point out, no, monkeys look more like Negroes than like Mexicans. Boy, you're racist.
That's not what I was pointing out. Yeah, wait a minute. I was pointing it out the other way.
On the air. You know,
why were they referred to
flying monkeys? Are things, actual monkeys in The Wizard of Oz.
Well, yes, I know that.
That fly.
And they do the evil bidding of the witch. They do the evil bidding of the witch. Is that what they're doing? The evil bidding of some warlord or something?
Yeah, and people call these, you know, in San Francisco, in other cities don't have this, or maybe they do now, but did not then. This was a San Francisco thing. L.A. didn't have it. New York didn't have it. San Francisco, you know, and people would sell the numbers, like a junkie would buy the number in an introduction in person, you know, for a couple $100 from one of these guys. Like, they were coveted. But they would deliver as little as a quarter gram, which is $25. And they're called flying monkeys because people needed a name for them. And they're Mexican and people are racist. But they'd send their kids up, like their 10-year-old kids, into your house to bring it in while they double parked. That's crazy. Because the kids wouldn't go to jail if they got caught.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. Catmuff is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help Catmuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at Catmuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Catmuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah.
So wait, mushrooms don't work if you smoke them?
No, they do not.
That's the thing with a lot of those indole-based things, or sometimes you do have to smoke them, like there's a plant, there's a bunch of plants actually that DMT, but if you eat them, it'll do nothing but give you stomachache, unless you eat them or cook them with this
else.
Other plant.
Yeah.
It's like an MAO inhibitor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's I have a friend of mine who's actually a pretty big Fiend fan. My friend Shane is he's like Radliff? A wizard.
He's a Fiend show.
No, another Shane. I know Shane's. Shane's another friend of mine, but there's another Shane who's a Fiend fan. Yes, there's actually another guy named Shane. It's
crazy. People say it would be so wrong, like, being turned into numbers by computers and, bureaucracy, but numbers are at least unique, generally.
You can keep going higher and higher.
I
guess there's only...
Oh, did you finish about Shane? He does...
Oh, I was just saying, my friend, he's a wizard when it comes to all that stuff. He's taught me all about all the things you need to do to mix all these things together. So.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, no.
Not a guarantee. For educational, that should be on there too. For educational purposes only. Okay, I'm going to add this. I'm going to actually make an app called the Excuse App. I think
Excuse App. It's illegal to make an Excuse App. What?
Oh, that's one of the. It's going to be the not a guarantee, the allegedly, and then a few others like for educational purposes only.
Yeah, that's a good one. Think of some more. Yeah, that's convenient.
And then I'll just, I'll make it free, but then I'll just, put a link to the Freedom Fiends as the last button or something. So, if you really need excuses, libertarianism can justify anything.
Yeah. Pick any couple of shows at random, listen for a little while, you pick up some tips. Go try it on your friends.
So real quick, a couple follow-ups. One is, coming back from the second hour, you may have to filibuster for me for a while because... I haven't pooed in about 42 hours, almost 2 days so far now. So, and I feel like it's come, and it's not terribly uncomfortable too. I haven't eaten that much, but I kind of feel, I took some laxatives about 12 hours ago. Sometimes they take that long. So I feel like I may be indisposed for the first couple minutes of the second hour. So
that's quite all right. We did have some things lined up that we were going to talk about, I think. I didn't actually get to talk a little about them.
Other than my poo and where to buy heroin in San Francisco 25 years ago. Well, thing is, you could still buy heroin on the same corner 25 years ago. It's actually an unspoken rule in a lot of NA meetings to not mention the corners because it's a trigger in a way that's like a real trigger. It gives people who don't know who just moved to the town or sober, they tells them where to find it in the city, because a lot of people do that. I spent so many days out, the nights out there, years out there on 16th and Mission, 19th and Valencia, because it kind of makes the story more colorful, But you're not supposed to do that. But I just told you where to buy heroin and crack in San Francisco. 24th and Mission. Used to be Divisit Arrow and Hayes where I lived. And that was another recording studio. It was Razor's Edge, owned by the guys from NoFX. Fat Mike owns it. It's called something else now. It's called Fat Studios, I think. But that's the building where Anne Rice wrote Interview with a Vampire, and the book takes place in that house, the house that's above the basement studio.
Interesting.
It's where we recorded Happy All the Time. The intro, it was where we recorded the song that starts every Freedom Fiends.
That's that song.
So High Street Studios, I looked it up, is not 345 height. It's 245 height, but that's pretty good for, I haven't had a reason to look at the address in 20 years. And I,
yes,
you know,
that is rather impressive.
I remembered it close enough that I could get you a block away to where someone would, you know, you could ask someone and they'd tell you and then mug you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is impressive, though, because I couldn't tell you addresses of clients' houses I go to on a fairly regular basis, because once I know how to get I go on autopilot. I forget the numbers. Yeah. Like, I couldn't tell you the streets. Like, half the times I couldn't. Like, if I'm walking the dogs and people.
Back then, there weren't phones to do that for you, so you had to know an address of a place and remember it each time. Well, no, I mean, you didn't remember it each time, but I don't know why I remember it. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember the address of Hyde Street Studios.
Well, certain things just stay imprinted in your mind, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, back.
Stuff.
Well, you know, I was going to say, like, you know, there's...
We're going out.
My very first phone number. I know we're going out. We have plenty of time still. This is the long outro. It's a minute long. Yeah, Come on now.
I know.
Get with the program, Michael.
Besides, I'll be pooing the next 10 minutes of the next hour. You can...
Yeah. I'll pick something to talk about.
It's not even Morning Zoo Crew. I'm not talking about poo because I'm crass. I poo and it's going to affect the show.
It's just...
My poos affect national radio.
News you can use, I guess. Poos you can use, maybe.
Yeah.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no first-hand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Yeah, I think I could do one of those. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, man. It's all good. And I was not successful in my task. And for those who only get the second hour of this show, or, you know, probably people of an age that are having the same problem, they're probably in Wyoming because the second hour of the show is played on two extra stations that the first hour is not. One is in Sundance, Wyoming, and one is in Belle Fouche, South Dakota.
Belle Fouche?
So those people get to hear about the fact that I haven't pooed in almost a day and a half, and I wish I could.
That's rather unfortunate. Well.
Yeah. It's okay. No, it's not. I'm not suffering in pain.
Well, yeah, as you said that, you're not uncomfortable. Yeah. Well, yeah, as long as you're not uncomfortable.
More like, you know, it just feels like I drank too much beer, but I'm not high. You know, I didn't drink any beer. I don't drink beer, but it's that kind of feeling like, ugh.
A little bloated, yeah.
A little bloaty, but I'm okay. A little bloated. It's all good.
Hey.
So, we're talking, let's see, what were we talking about right before we came back, Jeremy? I said, we should mention that. Yeah, Lou. Lou had a bunch of notes, and we're not going to do his topics, so he can do those same topics later if they're the ones that aren't time sensitive.
A couple of them I think would definitely be able to be passed over till his next show, which is probably next week.
Sometime. I'm of the Jim Jesus. I don't need any stinking show notes. School of thought.
Well, yeah. Oh.
Oh,
that's why. Oh,
go ahead.
Yes,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, that's why, you know, when I know I'm planning on doing shows with you, I know whenever you send me an email, and I think it's just you have topics with a question mark, just as like a standard thing. You don't actually expect people. You know, like if you give me topics, great.
Yeah, want topics.
It's like a rhetorical question. It's like a rhetorical question, basically.
Yeah, you want to write some stuff down that, you know, I'll probably ignore and we won't do, but you
We may mention in passing, if anything.
Yeah. You know, if I get droned, you can read about it. Anyway.
If everybody but you goes down, then you're here. You can read your topics. Little story.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually going to turn down our buffer a little bit. So this is some radio news you can use. This is kind of behind the scenes baseball. But what's called inside baseball. Yeah.
Yes, inside baseball.
So with any program, a VoIP program, which is voice over internet protocol, VoIP is the name for things like Skype and Google Hangouts and FiendPhone. FiendPhone's a lot better than all those things and does not have video like those things, but it doesn't matter. You know, that there's some advice too for anyone wanting to do a podcast with, you know, this kind of thing. Like,
don't
unless you're a really good looking girl.
Yes, don't
bother with video. Video's gonna make it. You're gonna spend more time on the video. It's gonna use up your bandwidth. You're gonna suck if you have video. If you do audio only and work on audio only, it'll be better. And also, like, people can't listen to. You know, people can't watch video while driving a car. Well, they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. They can listen, you know, they can listen audio, though. Audio is great for this, you know, people who are on the move, which is basically everybody.
So, yeah. Well, I was going to say that was my big problem with a bunch of people that I knew that were doing podcasts early on, that were doing video, were insisting on doing video ones, and yeah, I was like never able to watch them.
Four like 30 something dudes that could lose a few pounds that all have beards. I don't want to look at that. That's, I just described every Google Hangout ever. Is, you know, four screens, four up, you know, left, right, bottom, like, you know, four in a matrix videos of, you know, some kind of pudgy white dudes with beards vaping. Yeah, vaping. It's got to be vaping.
Most often, yes.
Yeah, but I was going to say that I turned up the latency when we were having all those problems. I went on to the server on our network. It's not in my home. It's in Minnesota. And I can, you know, team viewer in there, And, you know, the funny thing is Sarah Palin does not have a freaking Alaska accent.
She has a Minnesota accent.
Yeah, which is funny because she never lived there. She lived in Idaho, which kind of has no accent, and Alaska, which kind of doesn't really have an accent either because most people there are either Eskimos or from somewhere else. So,
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I know a couple of people from Alaska now, but I've never actually spoken to them.
Or, you know, from
them,
Alaska,
so
like...
No, but I'm saying I've never spoken to them, so I actually don't know what they sound like, so I couldn't tell
most
you.
most non-Inuit people... No, not Eskimo. Inuit.
We're not born there.
We're not born there. Or they're like first generation. Like their parents were maybe, they were born there, but their parents are from someone else. Like, you know, it was not, there's barely any people there. It's actually, Wyoming's the least populated state, but Alaska's the least population density state because it's huge. It's like, it's you know, as many people, a little more people than Wyoming, but like, I don't know, seven times the size or something. It's huge.
Yeah, it's a big chunk.
It's bigger than Europe, you know, than Western Europe.
Really? Mm-hmm. I was not aware of that. Don't Google that.
I do not have the documents. But most people in Alaska went there, usually for work or went there for work and had kids. I don't know. They think there's like 2 million people there. 2 million, maybe something like that. Let's guess. You know, it's within an order of magnitude of that. It's between 1 million and 5 million people. And, you know, like 70 years ago, there were like a tenth that many people that were not native there, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Oil's, but the only reason there's people there is because of oil. And because there's a lot of military there, because you can literally see Alaska from your front porch. I mean, Russia. Yeah, Russia. Alaska. So anyway,
didn't Sarah Palin get made fun of for saying that?
Yes, she said, "I can see I know."
Well, or did she never? She never said that. But I don't think she ever actually said that.
She actually said that. I think.
Oh, did she? No, I thought that was the one that she didn't actually say. But everybody just all the Democrats really bought it because they assumed it was correct.
Well, put it this way. I Googled Palin in Russia, and it's the first thing that comes up. Snopes.com. Yeah, did she say it? Tina Fey. Huh. Well, our crack research team can do this later. Hear me going,
Somebody else looked that up.
But, I think the story right was now. That she said... I have, when she's running for vice president, that I have international policy experience. I can see Russia from my house. Yeah. So yeah. What I've been, let's see, how long
have we got?
12 minutes. For 12 minutes, this has been an aside for me getting to one thing I was going to say.
As I said before, you're the only guy I know can interrupt yourself multiple times.
Yeah, but I interrupt myself in nested paragraphs. Like, there's an interruption within an interruption within an interruption.
Exactly.
At this point. What I was saying was, I turned the latency up. Which it means on the software, I turned up the buffer between you and me, which means at the beginning of the show, I did that for everybody because what that means is it takes longer for you to hear me and get back. The default latency on Fiend Phone is something like, 100 milliseconds?
I don't know. Mine's defaulted to 50, I think.
Okay, 50. That's it. We turned it down to 50 with the last rollout. It used to be 100. So it's 50, which on solid internet works freaking great. And there's, it's 100 milliseconds, a tenth of a second round trip from you to me. So I say something. So basically, all other things the same. In a conversation, it takes you a tenth of a second. It takes a tenth of a second longer than if we're all in the same room. Hmm. But so turning up the latency makes things more solid. Like when things aren't working well, often turning the latency up will fix it. And I turned it up to like 200 milliseconds on everybody. It was like 300 milliseconds. So that's enough that it actually like makes you sound retarded, because round trip, that's a sixth of a second. So combined with, the half second to second that people have to think before they start talking, people who are adept at talking like us, it adds, almost that amount again. So it makes it sound like you're like, but you don't have latency, you don't have dropouts. So I did that before, but it didn't fix everyone. And while I was talking at the beginning of the segment, when I was saying, so VoIP, which is voice over internet protocol, here's how the sentence was supposed to go. So with VoIPs like Skype and Fiendphone, the longer the latency, the less dropouts there are. I changed that at the beginning of the show. I'm changing it back now so we don't sound retarded. That was the full sentence that I interrupted with a 14-minute aside.
That's
it's good radio. It's good storytelling as long as you complete it.
Yeah, as long as you have the payoff.
Yeah. I've told the story about the Henry Rollins spoken word piece. I really like his spoken word. It's funny. You ever heard it? It's funny.
I've heard parts of his stuff. Yeah, but nothing. I can't remember.
I mean, it's what he does for a living. He does spoken word and charges $20 a ticket and packs in 800 people and does it all across the world. And it's not humor, but it's got some humor in it. It's kind of like observational insight, and he kind of walks around the stage with a microphone, nothing else on it, and does it like a stand-up comedian. And I've listened to probably 25 hours of that from him, and I love it all. And there was this one that like I didn't like. I was like, I want to like this, but I don't know why. And there's nothing he's saying that bothers me. I don't know what it is. And I listened to it like three more times looking for what it was. And it was that he started a story at the beginning of the hour, did an aside, and then never came back to it. He usually does. He's usually an expert at this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's news you can use if you're watching radio and podcast people. It doesn't matter how, if the audio is good and the people are interesting and they don't have voices that sound like, you know, cats being rubbed on blackboards, cats nails being rubbed on cardboard, then it's going to be good radio. If even if the people interrupt each other and it has no form and no show notes, if the people do a few simple things, and that's one of the simple things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tease the audience and never pay it off, man.
Don't be a tease.
Exactly.
Don't be a radio tease. We're going to talk about poo when we get back.
All right. More poo.
We don't usually talk about poo ever.
No.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. So we're back. I'm back. I don't know where Michael went. He ran off. I don't remember what we were talking about at this point. Oh, this has been an interesting night. We were talking earlier about, you know, Alaska and the amount of people there, and I wanted to make a correction because actually less people there than you said.
Keep going. I'm out of snack.
Oh, that's where you can leave to go poo. Eat, man.
Well, actually, I was nose noozling. You know what that is?
I have no idea.
Probably not, because I made it up. So, hose noozle is a word DJ made up for things, you know, just hoses, CPAP hoses. Mm. All the, you know, Neiman and I had this saying a long time ago that Wyoming is a tube-based economy. Because a lot of times when you're driving on the road here, on the highway, you'll see trucks carrying tubes. You know, I mean, they're usually like big tubes for oil, or big tubes for the stays that hold up wind power windmills. You know, the big ones, which are a big thing here because it's the windiest state in America. It's either those or it's like medium-sized ones for oil, or, you know, smaller ones for water. Like, just seems like every 10th truck has tubes on it here. And that became our term for economies that are, you know, like San Francisco is an information economy. Wyoming is a manufacturing economy and oil. So, tubes, man. So we like tubes, hose noozle. It became a word somehow connected with tubes. And then nose noozle is what I said it is when I heat up distilled water and put a weird medical salt solution in it, shake it up, and then gently squeeze the bulb and push it through one nostril and have it come out the other nostril.
Like a neti pot type deal.
Yeah, like a neti pot, but neti pots can kill you because people do them wrong.
Yes.
It's a Walmart version of a neti pot. And I hated doing this at first. It's kind of like waterboarding, but it actually is one of the many things I've done over the past 2 years that has helped my health recover somewhat. For one thing, it makes my nose clear, so my nose sound like this as much, and so I can breathe at night through my nose instead of my mouth with the CPAP, because with the mouth you get all dried out and get cotton mouth, like bad. So that thing also just there's less crap in my nose to catch, you know, irritants, pollen, whatever, germs, viruses, bacteria, all that good stuff. So I do that, and I did it on and off for, you know, the last 2 years when a doctor recommended it. And I never really did it consistently, but I've done it every day for like 3 weeks, and it's helping. So I'm doing it every day. And I wanted to have a snack, but I want to be able to taste the snack, which involves smelling. So I hose noozled. It reminded me to hose noozle, nose noozle.
Nose noozle, gotcha.
Yeah. So speaking of poop, I sent you the show image for tonight. It's a new one by JP. Do you see it? You want to, why don't you describe it? Do a visual humor on the air.
Oh no! I accidentally put it away, but yeah, in a folder.
Wow. Oh, because you only saw the. You know, whenever I send more than one attachment, I always put like three attached or two attached at the top of the email because people miss them.
I want to know. There's
three things in that.
Yes, it's
how to build a government in three steps, and it's three easy pains. Steps.
Yes, it's three pains, and it's pictures of dung beetles. That's the first one. Covering on dung. The second one's got a big ball rolled up, and third one's got the whole pile of it on the bottom, and it says repeat if desired. So
So it's this is how to build a government. You find dung, you roll it into a ball, and then you get together, and other people roll their dung into balls, and then you have a big pile of dung balls, and it says repeat if desired, and that's going to be the show note, the show picture tonight. And I sent it to you because you're editing, right?
This is correct, sir.
Yeah.
So it's my night.
You know, another thing about my health that not a lot of people know that I keep to myself and probably should.
These are the best
shows. I've started keeping really accurate records of a lot of body functions. I do not do pee and poo, but take my blood pressure several times a day. I have a spreadsheet. Take my oxygen level measurements, my temperature. What else is in there? There's so much. I just try to forget it when I'm not doing it. But
two out of those three aren't exactly completely abnormal, even for somebody your age necessarily. So it's not
Be testing what blood pressure?
Yeah. Blood pressure and oxygen. You know, if you have some kind of breathing issue, then oxygen testing your oxygen level is absolutely absolutely pretty much necessary. And blood pressure, you know, if you have certain issues, it's not abnormal.
I also write down how many hours I sleep a night and try to keep track of it. It averages out to 8, but it's often less or more than that.
Wow. So, I don't come anywhere close to that anymore.
But we'll be back to talk more about the pain and suffering I live in every day of my life.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
I'm such a degenerate.
You are.
Whatever, man. I was born in the wrong decade. I was meant to be a hippie.
So what do we call
an angry hippie? But a hippie.
Speaking of hippies, I'm going to talk about my family soon. And my dad, who's very much not a hippie. Oh, I said I wouldn't say relative.
No.
All right, so forget that. I'm going to talk about a relative later, not my dad. So, Jeremy, what are we calling the show and why?
I believe the show title tonight is Dungermint.
Yes.
And because that goes along with our wonderful picture that JP made for us.
Right, describe it again for people who are just joining us.
Oh yes, for people who just joined us, the show image for tonight is a meme made by one of our fans, JP, and it's how to create a government, three easy steps, and it's a picture of the first panel is a picture of a bunch of beetles on a pile of dung, the second picture is a dung beetle rolling up a giant ball, and the third pile is a picture of a whole bunch of the balls all together. And it says, repeat if necessary.
A community of dung balls.
Yeah, which is basically what government is. So,
you know, that's one problem with government. There's many problems with government. Or to use the Ben Stone thing to differentiate the government and the state. Well,
state is the belief.
State is the belief that keeps it going. The collective hallucination.
But the government is
the buildings, the marble, the written
the
books
people.
Of law.
The people who call themselves government, the state actors, as it would be, or government
and what
actors.
Ben Stone has pointed out, I believe very accurately, is that the government could completely collapse tomorrow, and by next week there'd be a new government because the state still exists, which is the belief in people's minds that we need a government. So
I agree with that. I've always agreed with that ever since the first time I heard that.
You sound like you're like, duh, I know that. I'm talking to the audience.
No. I didn't mean it like that. I was adding to that. I was trying to add to that by saying I've always agreed ever since the first time I heard Ben put that forth, because I've said that for quite a while that I always Yeah, that I was, that once I looked around and saw like how completely outnumbered we were, that if it collapsed, so many people I knew were cheering on like a collapse, like they wanted the collapse to happen soon. I'm like, no, that'll just be bad.
Collapses are horrible, man. I mean, look at footage of the war, the civil war and the external war from Russia going on in Syria right now, Russia and France. Check it out. It's disgusting. I mean, do you want, a bomb to fall on a member of your family's house and kill it and blow it up and, then go to the hospital where, like, you know, the electricity's off and they don't have any medicine?
Well, I mean, that's a little different than economic collapse, but some similar stuff could happen, though. Exactly.
Oh, I was thinking of the people who, like, you know, what I call the bayonet polishers. The people who are like, we got to get back to the Constitution. We need to have a second revolution, American revolution. I don't know why I do it in a Southern accent. There's a lot of those people in my state, Wyoming, and they don't have that accent. There's like no accent in Wyoming. Actually, though, there's a lot of people from Texas here who have a Texan accent, because when the oil economy collapsed at one point in Texas, and a lot of those people like go where the jobs are. So they moved their family and came here.
Makes sense.
And worked in oil here.
That's like how North Dakota exploded a couple of years ago when the oil took off up there and everybody moved up there, and then now it's since dried up, I guess, and everybody's had to leave town again.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, this whole part of the country, you know, Mountain West, the Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, but especially like Wyoming, have, you know, a lot of the oil. I mean, have like Canada, you know, just north of these states. Like, did you know that more oil comes to America from Canada than from the Middle East?
I did not know that. I thought more of it came from Venezuela, but
maybe now too. This might be a 5-year-old statistic, but
it's possible. Well, because I know a lot of stuff does. Well, because I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Well, until the North Dakota boom happened, there had been a very low amount of, like, there was the oil input, the oil output from the U.S. I don't think was very high, was it? It was on the decline.
Right. But, you know, the thing about North Dakota is, I mean, there's always been oil there, but it was not economically feasible to get it because it was in shale under rock. Mm-hmm. And then they discovered fracking or invented fracking, which, you know, that's a whole ball of problems and wax. But
I've heard the same. I've heard multiple things about something similar about California, actually, that supposedly there's actually a reserve in California that they found that's actually probably the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But because California is so anti-fracking to begin with.
Well, it's also so.
The fracking's been going on there for decades, even before fracking became a thing.
There are working oil derricks, you know, the ones that like look like the cartoons with the big arm that goes up and down, in the city of Los Angeles that are pumping right now.
Really? They're in L.A.? I didn't know they were in L.A.
Out by the airport. There's dozens of them. Yeah, it's weird. And there's a picture. Google this while I go on a rant now. Google Los Angeles oil rig McDonald's. There's a really classic picture of like one of these like in the parking lot of a McDonald's, I think it is, basically. In Google Images. You'll probably find it.
I'm a horrible
fan. So there's some interesting documentaries about that oil boom in the Dakotas. We were on a station in Minot, North Dakota. I think it's the name of the town.
Minot.
Minot. Okay, which is the epicenter of that. I mean, it's called the Bakken, Baakan oil reserve is the name of that. And one of the guys whose last name is Bakken, who I think is one of the millionaires, billionaires, whatever, that owns that, like owns a 50,000 watt radio station there. And he's a, conservative, let's go back to the Constitution kind of guy. And he made all this money. He's like, how can we help? How can we help the world with our money? So one of the things he did was bought some radio stations and basically just started playing Genesis Communications Network 24/7. So kudos for him. So that station took us. It was the first station we were on. And actually, that's the one that's going to first be heard in Alpha Centauri, Nima and I on that station, because 50,000 watts has a better chance of getting out of the atmosphere. And, it's not in a populated area. There's not a lot to soak up the radio waves. And that was the first shows we did were on that. They eventually kicked us off, I believe, because we were not pro-military. They didn't give us a reason, but it's weird, though, because I think... might have been something else. Might have been making fun of North Dakota because Free Talk Live is still on that station and they don't love them. They're more out. They're louder than we are about government being dumb.
I don't know about that.
As loud.
Yeah, as loud. Yeah.
But yeah. I think what people should start doing, something you can start doing tomorrow without having millions of dollars, people, to help Liberty, is start saying to people who are not in the military, thank you for your service when they do a good job. Mm-hmm. The girl at Starbucks, the butcher at Walmart, I don't want to just praise big corporation places, the plumber, the sole practitioner plumber who comes over and
corporate
fixes
shill you.
Yeah, no. Tell those people thank you for your service. And the problem is, like, a lot of them probably are vets and they'll say, "Why? Welcome. Thank you. How'd you know?" But it's a weird thing because it's totally not anti-military to say it. It's pro-private. It's pro-non-military, really, is what it is, which is not really the same as anti-military in and of itself. But saying thank you to your... I've been starting to do this to everybody. Thank you for your service to everybody, like the UPS guy, FedEx guy, anyone but
the
mailman.
There you go, So like corporate shills again, man. Look at you.
Come on, man.
I'm kidding.
The plumber. I said the plumber.
I know. Because you were saying it.
The guy who walks your dogs, man. Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly. Me. I was thinking as you were saying that, and I was realizing that for the most part, the people I end up seeing during the course of the day are usually the same type of people. So I'm making fun of that, and that's all I deal with anyway.
Yeah, well,
I see more mailmen than anything else.
The thing is, it's like those are the... Yeah, don't say it to mailmen. The thing is, it's hard not to come up first with Starbucks and Walmart.
No, I know.
That's what corporate culture has done. So I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. You get defensive like I'm schooling you.
No.
Just because off mic, I tend to school you a lot.
No, I was just pointing out again, I'm not taking it personally. I'm trying to.
You know what's going on here?
Participate,
right?
Michael.
There's been no conflict in the show, and I just realized that. So I was like,
"So you're just trying to create it? You're gaslighting me, aren't you?" That's essentially what you're doing.
I didn't say that. Play back the tape, Bill. Bill.
Good time,
Bob. Bill. Bob the cat. Bill. Play back the tape. Bob. My producer, Bob the cat.
That would be a neat trick. You should work on that. He's the youngest. You could work on that with him.
Yeah, Bob the cat.
Get him to try to...
he's the smartest, too.
Exactly. So there you go. You can get him.
Beast is dumb as snow, man.
Maybe some grunt work, even. Get him started.
Yeah. Bippy's smart, but Bippy's cranky. The one on the Bitcoin logo. So, Bitcoin, I got a follow-up here.
Bitcoin.
The problem is done with that we had for 3 days of another coin using our ticker symbol, BIP. And, so basically what happened was it made us look artificially more popular and it drove the price of the coin up from 0.7 cents to 3.7 cents, I think. Maybe four, maybe it's almost four at one point. And I noticed this Christmas morning, someone said, "Hey, you're on another exchange." And I was like, "Cool." And then realized we weren't, but then realized that that was feeding to other services that automatically display things. So even on our own pools that feed from something else, the price was higher than it really is because it was combining that coin's price with our price and that coin's market cap with our market cap to display as our price and market cap. So we went from a market cap of 10,000 to 100,000. It's really funny if you look at the chart of it. It's like vertical leap and then near vertical coming back down over 3 days. Because what I did was Christmas morning, I was like, this is a problem. You know, this isn't right. It's not honest. People might be buying the wrong coin one way or the other. And I just got on it and started contacting people. And the coin, those people are in Japan, so it wasn't Christmas, but they were still slow about getting around to it. But everything got fixed, and we're back to our little tiny baby coin again. Still a little better price, but hope that stays.
Where's it at now? Cool.
Check. When we get back, I'll tell you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
I have five topics in the next 4.5 minutes.
Go.
And I've instructed Jeremy to interrupt me if I start. Tell me I'm
telling you, go. Stop talking. Just go.
Stop now. This is one of the topics. All right. So we have a new pool. It's great. People should get on it. Bitcoin mining pool. It'll be in the show notes because it was yesterday. And Jeremy will copy the things that are repeated every day.
Yes,
I will. That's number one. Number two, the price of Bitcoin is 1.1 cents. And the price of Bitcoin is going to be 1,000 soon. It's $974 right now.
Yeah.
That's unreal. It's been 1,000 once, and it was for like a day. And then it, you know, went down quickly. It was kind of an aberration. It was like China outlawed Bitcoin or something, and there was a panic. But this is just naturally going up, man. I think Bitcoin is driving up the price of Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep, I do. Not really, but it'd be nice. Three, Braden, thank you for your service. Braden's the guy that was getting droned by the internets at the beginning of the show. And this is an example of how proactive I am about things. He and I have a plan. And we made the plan during the show, during the breaks, and he's going to go with the plan. Yep.
Excellent.
The plan is, like, you know, we think it's his internet. We don't know. He was in denial for a while, but I think he's now hit bottom. So
it does seem like the most likely culprit.
Yeah, so he's going to get a second internet connection for a month and try it.
Get
DSL from the same company I used. You know, rent the modem from them, do the non-contract version that's, you know, a little more expensive than if you pay for your contract. But he's going to do it for a month, renting their modem for $3 a month or $8 or whatever, and try it for a month. And if it's just, you know, he does a month of solidly great shows, he's probably going to buy, the plan is, I told him, at that point, return the modem to them, tell them you don't want to keep renting it, which you can do, and then cancel, and then I would just call up again. Like, instead of trying to upsell, like, on the phone, I would just cancel. Or maybe you'll try to cancel, and they'll say, yeah, that's the thing to do, Braden. Try to say you're canceling at the end of the month, and they'll probably try to, like, get you to stay. Even though you're staying, like, let them get you there. They might give you, you know, like, well, sweet, I don't know. I have another internet thing. If you can give me something special, you know, and I can return the modem. Well, you can return the modem anyway, but then buy the modem for like $48 on Amazon. That's what I did this time. So that's the plan. Yep. Well, so next order of business, I have a relative who recently, at age 95, I won't say what relative, went into an old folks home. A nice one, a decent one, you know, a clean one. And one of my relatives went there to put him in, and he got used to everybody and talked to everybody. And he's really sharp. Like, you know, somebody, they were asking, like, what's the price of some service, some add-on? And, you know, per day, like, well, it's this per day. And, you know, my sister said, well, how much would that be per month? And my dad did the math in his head before they could answer for 31 days and said, so, you know, the guy's not senile. But I learned a lot. Did I say dad? Darn it. Okay, it's not my dad. Like, the interesting thing, though, is, like, he's never been around a bunch of people like this for many, many years. And he's showing signs with, like, how he's going to fit in of, like, possibly becoming, like, the favorite guy there and possibly becoming the least favorite guy there. And it's the same things that make me good on radio. Like, he loves to tell stories. People love to listen to him. And at this home, like, that's what my family observed. But he's also, like, you know, like, some people are like, wow, he's got great stories. And then some people are also, like, jealous that he's the new guy who tells great stories. And then he's also, like, critical of people with no filter. So, like, you know, like, he said at one point, like, wow, I haven't been in a room with this many gray haired ladies in a long time. And, like, he said it in front of a couple other residents. You know? So the final thing is Redemption Third Act. When the price of Bitcoin went up 3 times, I sold a bit of it and bought some silver. I bought 2 5-ounce bars of silver. I used to have 2 5-ounce bars of silver, and they're fun to clink together on the air and to, like, hold in my hand. So no matter what happens with Bitcoin, I can say, I had a cryptocurrency once. I could sit in the old folks' home and show them my silver and say, I had something like Bitcoin once.
Back in my day.
And all I have to show for it is these 2 bars of silver. 5 5-ounce bars are hard to find. I couldn't get them at my usual, you know, our friends' places. What's up?
I don't have any 5-ounce bars. I do have 1 10-ounce round, though.
1 ounces and 10 ounces are the really common ones, because 10 ounces is a good store value. 1 is easy to move.